Listeners, thank you so much for joining me on the Content Callout. I am absolutely thrilled to welcome our amazing guest, James Carberry, today. He is the founder of an amazing company called Sweetfish Media. They are all about podcasts, and I'm all about podcasts, and I love what these guys are doing. I think it's absolutely amazing. We dive into really what it takes to be successful in the game of podcasts and where we see the podcast game going. Really, really interesting conversation. Thoroughly enjoyed this with him. I think you will as well. We would love it if you would share this with your friends, family, and colleagues. Give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to this podcast wherever you get them. And we thank you so much for investing time to learn about this amazing subject with James Carberry. Thank you so much. Enjoy.
James, we did it, man.
Oh, yeah, we're here. Success. We made it, dude.
Yeah.
Finally did it.
Success. Awesome. Well, listen, man, thank you so much for being on. I know the listeners are stoked and the viewers are stoked to get your point of view on podcasts because you're the guy. You're the guy when it comes to creating podcasts, especially for B2B brands. And this show, as you know, is all about really understanding what it's going to take to elevate our brands to the next level. And not only our business brands, but also our personal brands, because I feel like we're entering a stage with guys like Dave Meltzer and Gary Vee and those guys where your personal brand and your business brand are kind of becoming the same thing.
Intertwined.
Yeah, totally. And so I know that you've really focused a lot at Sweetfish Media building your brand especially, but also building the brands of others. And now we get to have a deep understanding from you what it really takes to hit that level of success with podcasts. But before we get into the details, maybe you could just tell the listeners a bit about yourself, what it is you do, and what Sweetfish Media is all about.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mark, for having me. I'm really, really excited about this conversation. So I started Sweetfish, I guess it was almost 5 years ago, and we started as a blog writing shop, and about a year into the business, pivoted into being a podcast agency. And now we're actually in the midst, in the last 6 months, of pivoting into being really a media company. So now we own a bunch of shows, and people pay us to be a host of those shows. So we've got a show called Crafting Culture that's in the HR space, people ops space. We've got a show called B2B Sales Show. Our flagship show is B2B Growth. We've got a show called the Industrial Manufacturing Podcast, another one called the Cybersecurity Podcast. So a bunch of shows that we own in really large kind of industries. And then we produce about 90 podcasts for different B2B companies. So we've learned
90 shows. Whoa, man.
It's pretty wild.
That's a large show.
Yeah. So we're seeing a lot of what works and what doesn't. And it's been a really, really fun ride. So there's about 18 of us on the team. And then we've got some contractors on top of that. And we're a fully remote team all over the place. I'm in Orlando. Our COO is here. Our director of customer experience is here. Wow. Senior writer is here. But most people are, our director of partnerships is in Colorado Springs. Our director of audience growth is in, I believe she's in Vermont, somewhere in the Northeast. I always forget where exactly she lives. But that's the cool part about being in 2019 and running a business in today's.
Yeah, you don't have to be in one place.
It's pretty incredible. So I'm a huge advocate for remote work and the benefits that it brings.
Sweet, dude. Well, listen, let's get into it. I want to understand, because whenever I like talk to businesses about podcasts and stuff like that, because I mean, I'm a massive advocate for it, this being my second show.
Yeah.
People often ask me, like, why should I care though? Like, I shouldn't be producing a podcast. It's already so saturated. Why should I as a business or a business owner care about having a podcast?
Yeah. So the reason we started it, honestly, was because being a B2B company and selling to businesses, we wanted to connect with a very specific buyer persona. And so we knew that if we can have conversations with VPs of marketing at B2B SaaS companies that have 50 plus employees, we can build relationships with those specific people and they can ultimately buy what we do. And the way that we create those individual relationships is by asking those people to be a guest on our show.
Yes.
And it is.
And so it becomes a sales tool.
Exactly. It's a biz dev and sales tool. And you've got to be real careful. I just finished my first book called Content-Based Networking, and it's all about this strategy. So you've got to be real careful because if you get them on your show and your sole intent is to try to sell them on what you're doing, they're going to see right through it. Like, it's going to come across as not genuine. So you've really got to approach it because of the other benefit of it, which is creating really contextualized content for the people that you're trying to reach. So by us interviewing VPs of marketing, even if they don't do business with us, that's okay because we've still created really great content for other VPs of marketing at B2B SaaS companies. And so regardless of whether they end up doing business with you or not, it's a win because you're either going to do business with that guest or you're going to create content that you're going to post and share and is going to attract other people to you. And so that dual-sided win can't be understated. And so when you really get that, you're going into these interviews not with this like salesy, smarmy, like bait and switch. I've heard people call it a Trojan horse, but I don't really like that because it implies that you're being sneaky and you're not. You're trying to create great content. And I'm not a VP of marketing, but my buyers are. So what's the best way for me to learn all there is to know about being a VP of marketing? Well, I'm going to go out and interview hundreds of them. And that's what we did to build the business. It's allowed us to build a seven-figure business in the span of 4 to 5 years. So it's been really exciting.
Well, congratulations on the success, man. One thing I want to touch on that you spoke about there, and I think this is so important for people to understand, is contextualized content and like niche specific content. Why is that so important?
Man, I think if you try to be all things to all people, you're going to sound like nothing to everybody.
Yeah.
And I think that's just the truth. I mean, I love your first show being specifically about negotiations made you stand out in a sea of other people talking about sales. Because you honed in on one very specific element of sales and you became the guy for that. And now, after having built the business to the point where it is, I know a lot more than just about podcasting. Like, we're doing a lot with video. We're doing a lot with, like, on the graphics side of our business, like just having designers and doing all that stuff. Like, there's a lot about marketing that I've learned over the years, but podcasting is the thing that people come to me and ask me to be on podcasts for. And it's what's allowed me to elevate my personal brand because I've developed a niche focus within B2B marketing as it relates to podcasting. And for me to be a B2B marketing expert would be next to impossible because of how
there are so many, right? So you've chosen that niche and it's perfect.
Yep. I think a lot of people shy away from it because they think that it's limiting. But in reality, nobody's going to pay attention to you at all if you go around claiming to be the B2B marketing expert, unless your name is Ann Handley or Jay Baer. And so those spots, you look at how they did that. And they've been in the space for 20 plus years. So yeah, I think niching down is absolutely the way to go.
How do you decide to choose that niche? Is it a hashtag that you would research on LinkedIn, for example? Is it like, I think Tim Ferriss talks about if it's big enough to have its own magazine, then it's big enough. But if it doesn't, then it's maybe too small. What is it there that you decide to choose on?
I don't know. I wish I had. I haven't done any research specifically on this. So honestly, whatever I say right now is just pulling it out of my hat.
You should.
But for me, it was, what am I passionate about?
Yeah.
And what do I care deeply about? And what am I a practitioner in? I've probably done, you know, shows, you know, we're at like 1,200 episodes of B2B Growth right now. But between all the other shows we do, like, I don't host the majority of our B2B Growth episodes anymore, but I've probably done close to 1,000 podcast interviews. And so I've done it. I just know it. And so I don't have to try to manufacture expertise because the expertise comes from just doing it over and over and over again. My buddy Gaetano DiNardi, he's a director of demand generation at Nextiva and was VP of marketing at Sales Hacker. I mean, that guy's a genius when it comes to SEO, but he doesn't have to try to manufacture that thought leadership because he's done it so much for so many different companies that it's just a natural extension of him talking about what he knows a lot about. He now has positioned himself as this guru. Yeah, he knows a ton about it. Rand Fishkin is obviously a big, big name in SEO. So I think it starts with, what are you passionate about and where's your expertise? And drill into that and go deep into that. And I think you're going to end up winning there.
Love that. You know, for a lot of people who are starting this journey, the whole idea of starting a podcast just seems so overwhelming. And it can be if you don't know where to start. So, like, how do people start and where should they start?
Yeah, so we've got an entire guide like on our website. So if you go to sweetfishmedia.com, you'll see there where, you know, it's a 26-step process for starting a B2B podcast. I think there are tools like Anchor. It's an app that you can download on your phone. Spotify just acquired them for a bunch of money, so they're well backed. So downloading Anchor and trying to start there for folks that just kind of trying to do it on their own. Obviously, we're working with mid-sized technology companies that have budget and can pay an outside party to come in and do it for them. But I think for the person that's just wanting to get started that maybe doesn't have much of a budget, download the Anchor app, start it right there on the Anchor app. I would highly suggest that you invest in great cover art. That's one of the things that Apple cares a lot about, is having a show cover for your show that doesn't suck. And so even just using...
Hire a designer, go onto Fiverr or something. And just pay.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be crazy. One thing we found, we're in the midst of rebranding B2B Growth, but if folks go and look at some of our other shows like B2B Sales Show or Industrial Manufacturing, you notice that we have solid colored backgrounds for the show. So we found that that tends to pop a little bit more as people are scrolling through. The other thing that iTunes cares about is the number of reviews and obviously the number of subscribers. Discoverability within the podcast ecosystem right now is really, really hard. And so one of the things we've found that we started going all in the last 8 months is video. And so getting video of the content that you're doing, whether it's a solo episode or an interview.
That's why we're doing this,
man. Yeah, exactly. And then chopping that up into little 1-2 minute videos that you can play on social. Because video, as you know, plays really, really well on social, but audio does not. So I've seen a lot of people that use little graphic with an audio snippet on the back of it. And
with a little sound wave.
Yeah, with the little sound wave. Depending on who's posting it and how influential they are, sometimes I see them get more engagement than others, but video tends to always over-index and always get more engagement. And so I would not suggest posting the entire interview. I've seen some people do that, and people don't want to sit there scrolling through their feed to watch a 15-minute conversation, but they will watch a 45-second to 2-minute video. And then at the end of that, if you put a little call to action to subscribe to your show, they're probably not going to do it the first time they see your video, but the 5th or 6th video that they see, they're like, man, I need to go subscribe to the Content Call-Out podcast because Mark always seems to have great guests, and I'm just going to subscribe there. And once they're subscribed, even though it takes a little bit of work, the likelihood of someone unsubscribing from your podcast is very low. I forget the data point and I don't want to misquote it, but getting someone subscribed does take work, but they very rarely unsubscribe. And then they're going to get access to all of your content that you put out after that. So it's really, really powerful medium because of that.
Super huge, super huge. We spoke about cover art being like one of the big mistakes that people make when it comes to getting noticed. What other mistakes do people make when they're starting out or building their show?
Yeah, that's a great question, man. I see a lot of mistakes. People want to brand the show after themselves. So in our case, if we would have named our show the Sweetfish Media Podcast, or the B2B Podcasting Show, as opposed to B2B Growth, we would have done a great job in bolstering our own name brand, but we would have completely alienated the people that we actually want to listen to this show. Yeah. And so instead of branding the show around yourself, your company name, or your expertise, instead you want to brand the show around the industry or the role that you are trying to serve. So are you trying to reach CMOs? Then the name of the show should reflect that. Are you trying to reach people with engineering jobs? Your show needs to be about that, not about your specific niche expertise. So that's a big mistake that I see. We now get massive search traffic within Apple Podcasts because we rank for the keyword B2B in Apple Podcasts. Yeah. We wouldn't have gotten that had we named the show after ourselves. So that's a huge one. I think another mistake that folks make is they don't take reviews seriously enough. So getting family, friends, employees, there's a lot of low-hanging fruit. And whenever you go to subscribe to a show and you see that it only has 1 or 2 reviews, as much as we hope that that wouldn't matter, it does. And people think, oh, this is a small-time show. I don't know if it's worth subscribing. Maybe I'll just download this particular episode. But if they go to your show and they see that you've got 50, 75, 100 reviews, there's a lot more credibility there. And so I would say take that more seriously. It's something we're trying to do with our clients, really getting them to activate their internal teams to leave reviews, because reviews matter a whole lot.
And I mean, that counts in your rank too, right?
Yeah. So the thing I've heard, obviously I don't work for Apple, so I can't speak on their behalf, but it's cover art Apple Podcast reviews, and then number of subscribers. Subscribers, I haven't figured out a great way to know how many actual subscribers you have, but we've also had a wonky experience with the interface that Apple gives you to see more data. We haven't been able to log into that for B2B growth, but because of some password issues and stuff back from, because we started the show so long ago, I can't remember which Apple ID I started the show under. But anyway, all that to say, those are some of the big mistakes. I think the biggest one is trying to brand the show around your own expertise as opposed to branding it around the people you're trying to reach.
Yeah, I love that advice. That's such good advice. One thing that you spoke about there was around the subscriber piece. When we're trying to drive that subscription piece and going into social and all that kind of stuff, do you recommend that people start investing in PPC campaigns and stuff like that to drive that growth? Or should it be organic?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you've got the budget to do that, do it. There's been a few shows recently that I've subscribed to because I saw an Instagram story ad. So I subscribed to one yesterday, Buffer's podcast. I think it's called Breaking Brand or something like that. So I saw that via Instagram ad. It looked interesting to me. Their creative was compelling. I swiped up and subscribed to that show. I'm seeing larger brands. I think Wistia's got a podcast out. They've just started doing that. It's called Brand Wagon, I think. So clearly, I mean, the targeting is there to be able to target people that you know will be interested in that show. That's something we are going to start doing in 2020. We're not doing that at all right now. But I absolutely think that it's a play. You've got to be smart about the creative, though. You can't phone in the creative, put ad spend behind it, and then when it doesn't work, blame it on the fact that ads don't work. No, you haven't figured out the creative that makes someone want to click the thing to subscribe to your show. And so,
and the SEO as well, I find, right? Like having those relevant keywords attached to the descriptions and the copy, that's so important.
We had to go back and change a lot of our show names.
Probably, I'm in the process of doing that right now, man. It's
It was maybe a year and a half or so. I saw that Apple started penalizing if you tried to keyword stuff your headline. So before it was like, our show name was like B2B Growth : a podcast dedicated to B2B marketing or something like that. I was trying to bake in B2B marketing and a couple other keywords. And with some other shows, we had done something similar. And we'd started hearing that shows were getting shut down for quote unquote keyword stuffing in their headline. Uh-huh. And so we had to go through and remove that and put those keywords strategically in the description of the show. So Apple, from what I can tell, Apple's pretty much a closed box on how all that stuff works. I wish that we had more access to seeing kind of how to rank for specific keywords, because I know that we rank for B2B and Apple Podcasts just because when I put in B2B on my phone, that's what pops up. And I've seen that, and we've got a lot of feedback from listeners that that's how they found us, was searching B2B in the podcast player. So I know that.
What about the analytics tools that are out there to try and understand like where you are ranked, like compared to other shows that might be similar to you?
There's a tool called Casted.
Yeah.
That we've recently partnered with to do some stuff with them on B2B growth. I haven't played with that tool a whole lot. Somebody else from our team has been playing around with that tool. So I can't speak to the specific.
Have you heard of Chartable?
I have heard of Chartable. I get the reports from Chartable every week on like how many downloads we've gotten, which is cool to see. I mean, I could see that within Libsyn. I'm sure there are some other elements of Chartable that I just haven't tried to figure out yet. What are you using Chartable for?
We're just trying to see like relative growth compared to other shows, because if you got a subscription, you can plug in other shows to determine like downloads for the week and stuff like that to see how you're tracking compared to others.
Got it. Our director of audience growth, I think she's much more in the weeds on using Chartable than I am. I mean, the space is growing like crazy. Yeah, it's funny, you mentioned earlier, like people are like, oh, it's too saturated. There's too many shows. But when you look at how many podcasts there are, I think it's like 700,000 podcasts versus like, I don't know, what is it, like 70 million YouTube channels or some absurd number of YouTube channels. And so I think it's still very early days, and I don't think it's at all saturated. And if you're in the B2B space, I mean, that's why we're going and starting these shows in massive industries like industrial and manufacturing and cybersecurity. Because when I put in cybersecurity into Apple Podcasts, oh my gosh, there's like four shows in here that have less than 30 reviews and they haven't posted an episode since 2017. Like if I can dominate.
Just go in and take over the space. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so that's our strategy as a business. and there's room for more. So like the thing that I love so much about it is there's room for 10 or 15, probably well more than that in all of these different niches, because people in that space, they want to learn from different sources. And I think as time becomes more and more valuable to people, which I don't think that trend is going away,
yeah,
people are valuing more and more being able to consume content on their own terms, not having to sign up to watch a webinar in 3 weeks or watch a video while they're driving. They'd much rather play a podcast in their AirPods while they're
and where there. Else are you going to get that kind of dedicated audience, man? Like, I mean, exactly. Especially when we compare it to like radio advertising or television advertising, the cost is obscene. Yeah. Whereas you can create a show for next to nothing and have a completely dedicated audience as long as you're willing to put in the effort.
Yep. You've got to be willing to put in the effort. We very much lucked out in ranking for B2B and Apple Podcasts. But other than that, I mean, the discoverability in the platforms is not there. I know that I think recently, earlier this week, I saw that Spotify just introduced a form of discoverability that I'm really excited about.
Cool.
So whenever you're listening to an episode in Spotify, they will pull up other episodes that they think you'll be interested in based on what you're listening to currently. So I think that is hopefully because Apple is the juggernaut. I think like something like 93% of podcasts are consumed in
Apple podcasts. Where all my downloads come from, man. When I look at Libsyn, I'm just like, everything is Apple.
Yeah, everything's Apple. And so hopefully Spotify is going to force Apple to do some innovation there. I just think they've really crapped the bed, honestly. I think the UI for Apple is not where it needs to be. I think discoverability has a long way to go. But as more and more people are listening to these shows, it's going to force these platforms to take them more seriously. Apple in particular, I think Spotify's already shown that they're invested. And with them buying Gimlet and Anchor, I think we're going to see a lot of innovation in the space, which makes it easier or more compelling for creators to get on board and for marketers to start creating shows on the platform.
Speaking of the creation process, when you're a B2B brand, let's just say you're an entrepreneur like you or I, and you're thinking of the kind of show that you want to produce, this interview style, very common, what other styles should people be considering?
Yeah, that's a great question, man. So with the model that we're stepping into with what we call our collective shows, so the shows that we own and people pay us to come be a co-host of, we are moving them into solo episode type shows with interviews kind of dispersed throughout, but the primary content is going to be solo episodes. So we're going to be doing a lot more work. We're training our team on doing this right now, but we're going to be doing a lot more work on the front end to identify specific keywords that we're going to be trying to rank for. And so,
Such a good idea.
And so by
I'm stealing by that. Working, I'm totally stealing that.
Yeah. So because podcasts are getting indexed in Google now with Google Play turning into Google Podcasts, we're actually starting to build out the outlines for our show based on what we see is currently ranking for a specific keyword. And then we're going to try to make that piece of content better than what is currently ranking. So I've got a content outline right now for an episode that we're doing for the B2B sales show, and it's about how to get more women in sales. So I literally Google how to get more women in sales. I see what currently ranks. I look at those three articles and I can see, okay, they're around 1,500 to 2,000 words. So we want to try to create a 2,500 word piece of content so that we can outrank it. I see that they talk about data, like what are the numbers behind why there aren't more women in sales. I see they share here like four or five different ways to get more women in sales. And so I look at those three articles and then I can map out, okay, this is clearly helpful or Google wouldn't be ranking it. What other insights can I add to this piece of content that we're going to create through this podcast and then repurpose into a written piece of content?
And then that you can create into additional social stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. So by using Google, we call it alphabet soup. You do your keywords. So if we've got a series on hiring, we're going to put in hiring into Google and then do hiring A, hiring B, hiring C, and literally see what Google auto suggest says people are Googling around hiring. And so we found, okay, people want to know how to hire veterans. People want to know about hiring family and friends. And so you can start to see from Google, what are people actually interested in? So then we build the outline for the episode and we actually do the interview. And because we're flying to these people, we're able to do the interview in person, whether it's a solo episode or it's the producer off the camera asking them the questions, we get it all in video. And then we bust that video up into 1 to 2 minute segments that our play really, really well in social. And then we send it to our writing team. And because we've strategically outlined the episode so that we can create a long piece of written content that outranks what currently is ranking, it becomes this three-headed monster that is really, really effective because you've got great video to not just embed in the blog post, but video that's going to work to promote the show on social. You've got the podcast episode that people want to listen to passively, and then you've got the long-form written content that you've planned well. So our strategy up until about really 2 or 3 months ago was interview someone, talk about what they want to talk about, and then take what they've talked about, turn it into an episode. By us flipping it now and saying, instead of basing our content strategy on whatever the guest wants to talk about, instead, we're going to focus the content on what we know people are searching for in Google. And when we made that shift, it takes a bit to start ranking for keywords, but I think it's going to be an absolute game changer for us. So that's a very long answer to your question, but
it's huge, man. That's fantastic. The insight and the specificity that you gave there was brilliant, and I absolutely love it. And I think it's awesome. I think a lot of people are going to get a lot of out of it. If you could leave the listeners with, like, they're thinking, there's an entrepreneur out there, there's a business executive out there that's thinking, I need to do something to stand out, and they're thinking of doing the podcast. What advice would you give them, like, now, starting now? What should they do?
Man, aside from just going and starting, I think so many people get paralyzed by perfection.
Yes.
But just doing it is a huge, huge thing.
Absolutely.
You know, even if your company doesn't have budget for it, literally go and download the Anchor app on your phone, and you can literally start a podcast from your phone. And so I think that's probably step one. The other thing is, I think people have way more content inside their head than they give themselves credit for. And so I just have a note on my iPhone. And anytime I see a post on LinkedIn where I'm like, oh, that's interesting that someone thinks that, because I have the opposite stance on that. Or anytime if we get a question from a customer, or I'm having a conversation with our sales guy, and he's like, yeah, the customer was talking about this, but they didn't want to do this because of that, that, and that. I'm like, oh man, that's a piece of content. Like, our response to that is a piece of content. So I think just like pulling up a note on your phone after you download the Anchor app and writing down, what are 10 common questions that we get from customers? What's something about the market that is a commonly held belief that I just passionately disagree with? And there's probably two or three of those things that are like big things that you just disagree with. Talk about that. Talk about, answer questions that your customers have. I mean, there's so much low-hanging fruit in terms of content creation that people say like, oh, I don't have time. Oh, I don't have time. Oh, I don't have time. But we have time for what we make time for. It's hard to argue with the examples you shared earlier, David Meltzer, Gary Vee. It's hard to argue that the prolific nature of their personal brands and the thought leadership that they have greatly impacted their business.
Huge, huge.
And so to ignore thought leadership and to ignore building trust through content that comes from a human, yourself, as opposed to having it come from a logo, I think there's enough proof out there at this point to say that it's worth the effort. Now, it's going to take effort, but it's absolutely worth putting in the effort.
And I think you hit the nail on the head there, man. Like, if you're going to do it, do it, right? Like, dedicate the time, put in the effort, because it is going to be worth it. But it's only going to be worth it if you're willing to put in the effort. And there's hours of work that go into producing a show and getting it all done properly. But it's so valuable in terms of not only the thought leadership brand that you're creating, but also the leads that it just generates for your business. It's just insane. Yeah. It's the primary lead gen engine of my business. Absolutely. Yeah. No question.
Because the trust that people have in you, because they're listening to 15, 20, 30, 40 minute episodes, people are not spending that much time watching your reading blog posts. They're not spending that much time watching YouTube videos, but they are spending that much time listening to podcasts. And I think absolutely capitalizing on the length of time that people are spending consuming a particular medium of content is worth investing in it. And when you can do like what you're doing and doing video that then gets turned into a podcast, that gets turned into a blog post, that then gets turned into a LinkedIn status update, you can slice and dice this stuff in so many ways. It just becomes ridiculous. That's obviously a lot of work. And that's why we're in.
That's why you do what you do.
Are in business because we have a team that literally does that stuff for you. But I think getting started to go back to your question, is download Anchor, come up with 10 topics, and just go. I mean, put out your first 10 episodes, just you, and then start interviewing people you want to do business with and ask them questions that are interesting to you and be interested, be curious. And by doing that, you'll be approaching your podcast as a journalist and not somebody that's just trying to close deals with guests, and you're actually going to see results from it.
Yeah, huge. Speaking of that, if people want to find out more about podcasts and what you guys do, because there are probably people watching this going, holy shit, that sounds like a lot of work. I don't want to do that, but I do want to do this. How do they get a hold of you?
Yeah. So if you go to sweetfishmedia.com, you can see our website. Email me, james@sweetfishmedia.com. I'm all over LinkedIn. If you just search James Carberry, C-A-R-B-A-R-Y on LinkedIn, you can find me there.
The content's solid on LinkedIn, man, by the way.
Thank you so much.
Huge shout out for that.
Yeah. So we're trying to be more and more consistent on LinkedIn because it's a channel that our buyers are. But yeah, LinkedIn, email, our website, I'm all over the internet. So if anything, just Google James Carberry and you'll find different articles I've written for Entrepreneur and Business Insider and stuff like that. So yeah, very, very open to connecting with anybody that wants to connect.
Very, very cool. Thank you very much for being on the show, man. Huge pleasure, huge privilege. You've given so much wisdom and so much advice. And thank you really for being here.
Thanks a lot, Mark. I really appreciate the opportunity, man.
You bet, dude. Bye.
Incredible interview with James Carberry, all about podcasts. We would really appreciate it if you would share this podcast with your friends, family, and colleagues. Give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to it wherever you get your shows. And thank you so much for going on this journey with us. See what it takes to be successful in the world of marketing. We appreciate you. Enjoy the day.